Outside Inn is located at 1132 Southwest 13th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. They are a free clinic for low-income people, and not only that, but they provide a multitude of services for at-risk youth, what have you.
Talk about me being confused, thinking that freedom was being a rebel towards authority, but it really opened my eyes when I was in that jail cell about to do my prison sentence. I realized this wasn't true freedom. Doing what I wanted to do and doing it my way.
I worry because there are a lot of things that could happen to her. She could get hurt falling off the pole or something, or I mean, she's around strange men every day staring at her, watching her take her clothes off.
I encourage the experience to reach out to the youth to share their wisdom.
Anyone can be a peer educator. You don't have to have special skills, but a really great peer educator just needs to be able to listen. That's what a lot of kids need these days, just to have somebody there to listen.
Tonight on Circle A Radio, guerrilla theater interns from Outside In. Stay tuned.
My name is Talilo, and I'm from Outside In, and we're broadcasting from KBOO right now, 90.7. I had an internship here to learn all the equipment, and we had a goal of putting a project together on hitting the youth and touching many topics such as STDs and HIV and gang violence and suicide, you know, plaguing the streets. I came up with this track, you know what I'm saying, to get the people out there listening, you know what I'm saying, to what the youth gotta say. It's called Vox Populus, and it's Latin for Voice of the People. And I got it from the title from Herberto, who was also on the track. He collaborated with me, you know what I'm saying, and yeah, he came up with the idea, and what we did was we interviewed people. I took some of their opinions, and they're on the chorus and on the intro, and it's just their voice telling you what they think about love and what they think about hate and violence and what they think the solution should be. And in my raps, I also talk about that. I talk about me being confused, thinking that freedom was being a rebel towards authority, but it really opened my eyes when I was in that jail cell about to do my prison sentence. I realized this wasn't true freedom, doing what I wanted to do and doing it my way. So the song is about just being humble and opening your eyes to what truly matters and elevating above the bars that try to keep you down and the chains that try to weigh you down, you know. Here it is, yeah. Listen carefully too, because I rap kind of fast. Your boy Talilo out.
I think it's just pointless to get shot over a stupid color.
Government's
red,
on
blue,
wars
green.
And,
it's all the same.
And just stop
There's
that
no
and put it back
people.
Into the people where it belongs. You have to invest in the people.
There's so much help
they have
out
nowhere
there,
else
still,
to turn
still
to.
Still
I can see the despair that people have. And
if you're
they can take it.
Check it and check, check,
enough.
Check.
Enough is enough.
Nothing.
Get these people
worked.
Go like this, yeah. Check it.
I see the corruption, and I'm thinking about it when I'm looking up on the streets, and I'm feeling the bleed. I'm seeing everybody claiming that they wanna be the one to break up every single thing of the reach, and they be saying that I'll never be free, but taking heat of principalities, authorities. So when I better sky to put a blocker on the elevation that I wanna pass, like the homie you're letting, I wanna fly. So why do I follow the rules when I can do what I want? Do rather be a free food or following all of you? Yep, reckless, rebounding just like a felon. I'm telling everybody to quit telling me what to do, so I'm left to see the cast to be everything I wanted. I be on it like a prodigy, tapping over to my beat. I was stopping the rhythm when I cut it. Now what do you call it again? STDs, but I thought it was free though. Automatic when I'm rapping and hitting, but throwing these blows. Gotta be more than. Knocking hoes and popping foes, we're stuck up in a mind of blows. But I blow to eat the black, the weed that's numbing and dumbing and killing and stepping the power out of the hour. The mentality's gotta be a thing of the living and giving. I might do a prison, this rhythm and the beat setting me free. And I'm getting to know the living like I'm in a world all alone on my own. Isn't what I wanna be somebody synchronized with a heavenly melody going fast, but I'm slow. Heck now with adrenaline, I'm a competitive element. But I gotta settle with sediment with a set of the venom in the body of men and men. And couldn't be so fast to forgive me for everything I did.
It's the root of all our problems as a people, man. It all comes from within yourself, really, man. You gotta have the determination to stop in order to
matter that lifestyle and not produce nothing in life.
It would be really helpful if people had equal opportunities. If everyone
everybody can go to
minorities graduate from college, and that really happens unless you have the discrimination.
As long as everyone had access to the same resources, then there'd probably be less.
To all the broke back beanbaggers, cabbage patch lettuce pickers, suck my bolts and nuts tied up mechanics who can't hang it when it comes to speaking a language that two-thirds of this world already grasp. Except that doesn't cut it, cause actually it's either Walmart or nothing. A janitor's armed with a red book in the mop, he decides to shop with credit till we all drop.
Yep.
Now, we get excited.
Yeah.
A few years pass, accents ratified, and your desk job has got your pass and his ults. He picked up golf instead of the struggle. Instead of barking, homie got the muzzle. And now he tries to find the pieces that align the puzzle that designs American muscle. See, class struggle is the flattest screen. Turf wars are a junkie's dream. Selling glue to the kids and shiny shoes for nickels. Their mom's only 17. Three kids on the nipples. She got a man now. My dude's 14 and a lettuce getter. 2011, never looked better.
Pain is there to teach you a lesson, but you can never forgive yourself or have others forgive you for it. Then it will grow and just eat you alive. And that all you have is that lingering pain and that regret. And there's that lesson to be learned from pain. You know, when it comes from an external source, you have to choose what you do with it and how you channel it. Even if it comes from yourself, are you going to forgive yourself or change your view on the world that sent you this pain on how to manifest it in a positive way?
Yo, I'm down for the world and I'm making a hurt. We're living up in a world of hurt. No matter what, again, and I save it. I take it to the big of the end. I return to the vague and dirt. In a race, I surge. In an earth that swallows. Not a promise, not even one tomorrow. So full with the pain and sorrow. So much of the weight, I gotta listen to the cargo. Go to the back of the room and I pray and push, even though you're burdened, uncertain. In a world of curses, don't let go when a heartbeat's hurting. I'm letting the tiger inside of me struggle. I'm feeling you dark when you say you just hustle, but got made away so you wouldn't be rebel. I'm taking the word of the concrete jungle. Gonna flip a brick today. Trying to get pit in the way to lay some traps. In a maze, you win for the cheese, but the end of that was a cage in the blackness. So what you gonna do now? Teardrops fall for the ones that went down. How they gonna make it when the devil got to thinking I'll do them crimes devilly when I get out? Ain't cool with a lie that brought them up. Need a way to be breaking some of the problems. Shots blow when a mom is dropping down to the knees where the child was lost in this desert desolate. I look to the north, to the east, to the west, yes, down south in the pit of my chest. I got the only water Jesus Christ left.
I think love is everything. Faith, honor, respect, you know what I'm saying? Trees, life,
love is the willingness,
God,
to sacrifice anything,
you,
to
me,
person.
The sidewalk, everything
is
love, you know what I'm saying?
Unconditional
divide,
respect,
there's no love.
It's the one untangible thing that
has all
the tangibles.
Like, there's a million ways to be creative and express yourself rather than, you know, killing yourself or hurting yourself in one way or another. Like, you don't have to deny the fact that you feel sad. Like, you can accept that. Happy with who you are and like who you're going to be, like when you wake up the next day.
How can someone put a flower in a gun, in a barrel of a gun, and watch the person pull the trigger?
But as far as a solution, I think that, you know, maybe perhaps I don't know, man. Everybody listens to this crazy hip hop. I listen to Christian rap. So, I mean, that stuff has a positive influence. I mean, you know, it talks about people who've been there, done that, and how they changed their life around and how Christ came into their life. So that's my solution, God.
This is Neely Osha, Guerrilla Theater Coordinator. We're back for a second show produced by Guerrilla Theater interns from Outside In, with the help of Herberto Espinosa, Rachel Crump, and the peerless Aaron Yankee. Guerrilla Theater is a creative peer education group dedicated to giving young people a platform to express themselves while learning employable skills and making community connections. You just heard Talilo's song Vox Populus that melded his words with interviews he conducted on the streets last week. Long after he has his own record label, remember you heard him here first. Next, we have Spence, who discusses a research project studying HIV prevalence and risky behaviors among Portland's homeless youth. Then we will hear Juicy, who you may remember from the last show, answer frequently asked questions about her work as a youth advocate and peer educator. Then we will hear from another peer educator, the quality anarchist Tabor McBee, discuss his choices to be celibate. He provides us with compelling information and resources so that we may all make informed decisions that are right for us. Ending the show is Kimmy, who has had to come to terms with her sister's decision to be a dancer. Kimmy interviews her sister, addressing her fears and possible misconceptions. With the most strip clubs per capita, there are many people in Portland who can relate to Kimmy. Okay, here's Spence's piece.
Hello, my name is Spence, and I'm with Juliana Scholl today to discuss with her a recent study about HIV that she was involved with. Juliana, can you tell us more about this study?
Our goal of our HIV study was to gather information on HIV prevalence and risk behaviors of Portland's homeless youth. And this was designed to help us provide better programs and services for the young homeless people in Portland. Our main objectives were to estimate prevalence of HIV in this population and to assess their knowledge, attitudes, and risk behaviors.
How did this study come about?
The study was kind of came into fruition from Cascade AIDS Project and Outside In. We're looking at the last time anyone has explored HIV prevalence with homeless youth, which was over 10 years ago. So when United Way put out a grant for an innovative project, we collaborated with OHSU. It was really targeted to look at how many youth are HIV positive, homeless youth, and what do they know about contracting HIV? What do they think their risk factors are? What are the risk behaviors? And how can we develop programming to prevent the spread of HIV?
How many youth did you interview for this study?
205 youth participated in the study. 54% white, 6% Hispanic, 9% Black, 14% Native American, and 17% chose other. And it was this is a fairly small study, so while the numbers I think are significant to us as a community, because of the small number of youth, we can't make any broad strokes of understanding at this point, and just know that we would like to have had more funding to do this again and test and survey more youth.
What are some of the most common at-risk behaviors that the study found most youth engage in?
Unprotected sex. Between 50 and 70% of the youth reported unprotected sex in the last 30 days. And sharing of needles. 12% of the youth surveyed said they currently use needles to inject drugs. And of those 12%, 17% share needles.
What information did you hope to find by doing this study?
I think we hoped to get a better understanding of the risk behaviors and how youth perceive their risk, and I believe that we did find some good information. Unfortunately, we found a disconnect between the perceived risk and risk behaviors. For example, 55% of the youth who reported their HIV risk is low also said that they had unprotected sex in the past 30 days. So we were trying to get some of those pieces of information to help us better develop programming and targeted services so that we can increase people's understanding of risk behaviors and decrease the risk behaviors that could cause contraction of HIV.
Out of the 205 youth that were interviewed, how many were IV drug users?
12%.
According to the CDC, African American youth, both male and female, are becoming infected at an alarming rate. Did you find this to be true here in Portland?
I don't have that in front of me. What I do know is that all of the youth that tested positive identified as GLBTQ.
If you are allowed to share with us, how many of the youth tested positive for HIV?
6 out of the 205 youth tested positive, which is a 2.93 prevalence rate, which is extremely high.
All the youth that tested positive identified as GLBTQ.
Yes, the youth that tested positive for HIV in this study all identified as gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, or questioning. Interestingly enough, we took the survey itself to the SMRC, Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center, Queer Youth Steering Committee, and they advocated that we add the term pansexual to sexual identification. And they also had us add intersex, which were two terms that the GLBTQ youth felt like would help young people expand their options. The researchers kind of at first struggled with how that might fit in, because how we could relate then this study to other national studies when you start to add additional categories. But interestingly enough, quite a few people did pick pansexual and intersex, and I think even though the sample size was small, there were some interesting correlations that came out of that. So it was pretty exciting to get that added, especially as direct feedback from the youth.
What was the general attitude of the youth that were being interviewed?
Everybody was excited to participate.
Do you think that the homeless are at a higher risk of infection than any other social or economic group?
I don't know if I'd make the correlation directly to homelessness, although I would say that what this study shows is that alcohol and drug use and mental health are both significantly higher rates in the homeless population. And so I think it would be a combination of factors. So we know that in the homeless population, there is more alcohol and drug use and more mental health issues, which I think directly affect people's behavior and risk behaviors.
I think studies like these are important, but not as important as what we do with them. We can collect all the numbers that we want, but they don't mean anything till we take action as a community. No matter what your social, economic, or racial background is, realize that this affects everyone, and we all have a responsibility to end the spread of HIV. That's it. Thank you, Juliana. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I'd just like to say thank you to you for having interest in the study. The youth that participated, I would like to thank United Way for making it possible in Multnomah County. I'd like to thank CAP and OHSU and the staff at Outside In, all the volunteers that worked on the project, and all of the homeless youth service providers that allowed us in their spaces to conduct the study. It was really a community effort, and I appreciate it.
All right, well, that's it. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Juicy Monique. I am a youth advocate for sexual health issues in Portland, Oregon. I get a lot of questions about my work, so today I've compiled a list of the most frequently asked questions, and I will give my insights and answers to these questions. I was in an interview the other day, and a possible employer asked me, "What is a youth advocate anyways?" So what is a youth advocate? A youth advocate speaks up for those youth who are soft-spoken or do not believe they have a voice. As a youth advocate, you want to give the people you work with self-confidence so they can grow and begin to advocate and speak for themselves. A lot of times my friend asks me, why bother being a youth advocate? This is a great question. Why should we educate youth and advocate for youth? We need to educate youth so they have the knowledge to make smart choices about their sexual health. The importance of advocating for youth is to give them the voice and the rights they do not have. For a young person who is positive with HIV or AIDS, they might feel alone and not know how to speak for themselves. For someone who identifies as queer or anywhere in the spectrum, they do not have the same rights and respect as their heterosexual counterparts. The question I get the most is about my personal experiences as a peer educator and a youth advocate. As a peer educator, I go to a lot of different places and talk to a lot of different people. Each experience is different, but let me tell you about my experience at Portland Community College, Sylvania campus. I went with Guerrilla Theater to a class at PCC. This class was a compilation of different students from social workers to nurses. Our job was to educate them about peer educators. Topics we touched on were sexual health, the importance of teaching young people how to practice safer sex, resources for testing, and what to do if they test positive for HIV. While we were there, we also advocated for homeless youth by breaking down stereotypes about homeless youth. For example, some people are afraid of homeless youth because they assume they will be a victim of crime. I know, as a youth advocate from talking to homeless youth, that they have no intention of committing crimes against a person because they know what it's like to be victimized. This next question is one I get a lot from adults. Why is peer-to-peer education more effective than traditional education? Traditionally, we have an adult telling us what to do day in and day out of our lives, whether that's a school, at your religious gathering, a police officer, or your parents. But if it's your best friend telling you why it's important to get tested for HIV, you're more likely to listen. Your best friend is your confidant, your everything, so their opinion is important to you. You're going to be like, whoa, if my best friend is telling me to do something, I should probably go do it. If it's your peer telling you to do something for your health, it's going to have much more of an impact than if it's from some adult. I can tell you a lot of times that for me, it can go in one ear and right out the other. It's a different playing field when you're hearing it from a peer. After hearing all of this about peer education, you might be wondering, how can you get involved? Well, there are a lot of ways you can get involved as a peer educator. A good starting point to becoming a peer educator would be finding out if your high school has a Gay-Straight Alliance, or a GSA, and getting involved with them. There are some other pretty amazing programs around Portland. There's Teen to Teen at CAP, which is the Cascade Aid Project. There's Guerrilla Theater at Outside In. There's SMIRC, which is the Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. And finally, there's Queer Zone, that's also at Outside In. And it also happens at New Avenues for Youth. To talk more about some of these programs, I've conducted a couple of interviews. The first one is with Jody Victoria from Queer Zone. She's an occupational therapist, and she's also the coordinator. I've also talked to the coordinator of Guerrilla Theater. Her name is Neely Osha. So first we have Miss Jody Victoria from Outside In's Queer Zone. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, GC.
How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, fabulous.
That's awesome. What is Queer Zone?
Queer Zone is a program of Outside In. It started out as a pilot project back in 2006 with the idea that there are youth out in the nation who are experiencing homelessness. And there was a study done that showed anywhere between 20 and 40% of the youth that are out there identify as LGBTQ or somewhere in the spectrum. So Outside In kind of heard this information and made a step forward to see how they could best serve youth who do identify in the spectrum and are experiencing homelessness. So it started out as a pilot project, a one-year program. Then we got grant funding for 2 more years. And so it's a safe space for LGBTQIPA, I mean, anyone questioning and allies who are in the homeless youth continuum using services and who want and need a safe space. We provide educational activities, fun activities, support activities, advocacy. We also do trainings in the homeless youth continuum. So we train staff on just kind of basic empathy skills and also on how to interrupt hateful, or how to identify and interrupt hate speech. So it's really, we do as much as we can with kind of the resources that we have.
Today we have Neely Osha from Guerrilla Theater. So Neely, first off, welcome.
Thank you.
What is and how did Guerrilla Theater start?
Guerrilla Theater is a recreational group that exists at Outside In. It's more than a recreational group. It's also a peer education group. And it started 8 to 10 years ago at Outside In as a creative outlet that worked together to support people that are recovering from alcohol and drug use. Over the years, the Guerrilla Theater's focus has shifted depending on the funding stream. Currently, the funding stream that Guerrilla Theater operates under is the CHAT PDX grant. CHAT stands for Curbing HIV and AIDS Transmission, because the infection rates among young people are really high these days. So they decided to create a grant that has young people educating each other.
Anyone can be a peer educator. You don't have to have special skills, but a really great peer educator just needs to be able to listen. That's what a lot of kids need these days, just to have somebody there to listen. Thank you for listening. Again, my name is Juicy Monique, KBOO Radio Station 90.7. Always remember, keep it simple, keep it juicy, keep on living.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find release. Oh, the time has come for my dreams to be heard. They will not be pushed aside and turned into your own, all 'cause you won't listen.
We're going to take a short break from the Guerrilla Theater projects to listen to some other amazing media projects produced by ChatPDX. ChatPDX is a collaboration between organizations and individuals working to curb HIV and AIDS transmission among young people through peer education and outreach, HIV testing, youth services, and social media. Organizations that are involved include Cascade AIDS Project, Outside In, and the African American AIDS Awareness Action Alliance. The next audio you'll hear is taken from a few video projects posted to the ChatPDX YouTube channel, dedicated to providing the most important and up-to-date sex, HIV, and sexuality information in a fun way.
Is there anything that you wish you had been told or that you had known when you were younger or maybe when you first started using?
When I first started using, it was with friends and they never told me about how addictive it was and how sick you would get. And I was using recreationally on the weekends to begin with, and then it started daily because I was waking up sick and not knowing what was going on with my body, and then eventually learning that the dope was making me so sick. And I wish that I would have been told that it takes total control of your physical and mental body and can make you that sick.
Heroin is a physical addiction. It's not a mental addiction. It's not something that you just put down and say, yeah, I'm done with it. What it does is it goes into your brain and it replaces the dopamine that your hypothalamus produces. So when your hypothalamus doesn't need to produce that chemical that you're putting into your body, it stops doing it. And what causes the withdrawals is that when you stop feeding it that and it's not getting it for free, the hypothalamus has to work really hard to make the same amount of dopamine just to make your normal day go, which causes the body pains, the restless leg, the diarrhea, the sweats,
vomiting.
Cold, hot flashes. Yes. If I can say anything to anybody who's going to watch this video, don't do heroin.
So you've never shared needles?
I have.
I have in the past, I'm not going to lie.
I have, yeah, I have.
Do you know other people who do?
Almost everybody probably does.
If they have drugs and they don't have needles, they're going to use it somehow.
Well, they have the needle exchange up here, which is great. You can go there Monday through Fridays, exchange your needles.
We are a program that was started 21 years ago here in Portland.
that works with IV drug users to help reduce the harm on the community and the individuals due to injectable drugs. We do HIV and hepatitis C testing, syringe exchange.
For free? It's all free?
Yes, yes, everything is free. And we talk a lot about vein care, how to keep yourself safe, HIV, hepatitis C prevention. We do referrals to drug and alcohol treatment centers and things like that. So it's basically talking to people about what their options are and what they're interested in.
But if people aren't interested in it,
they don't have to talk to us about it.
What does someone have to do to get services?
Walk in the door, ask for needles. We're going to ask very basic statistics like age. You have to be over the age of 18. How many needles you're bringing back. We see between 100 and 150 people a day. It is something that does make a difference. Last year, we took in over 500,000 needles here in our 25 hours a week. So that's 500,000 needles that aren't in our parks, in our sewers, in our trash cans, on our sidewalks.
Little kids picking it up. I remember I found a needle on the ground when I was a kid, and yep. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. You just know you want to play doctor. Science has proven that syringe exchange is effective to lower HIV rates, lower hepatitis C rates, lower overdose rates, and increase recovery rates in cities that have them. And it's a very widely studied program, as it's a very controversial
program. No, my school never even, like, completely wrote gay out of the history books. We weren't very inclusive, and so it put a lot of pressure and anxiety, like, not even be able to peg the desires of me being gay or homosexual. Or when I finally did, there was just that much more anxiety because I knew I was sort of like an invisible figure in the back of the class. And so there was not only being something that's different, but being something that couldn't be spoken about. And like, that's not healthy for anyone, much less someone who's going through like the awkward puberty years.
They learned like, that heterosexuality is what is normal, and that if they want to fit in, that's what they're going to have to be. Even if they don't want to fit in, they still want to fit in. No kid wants to be a freak.
Talk to your parents about sex. Talk to your kids about sex.
No glove. No love.
Respect yourself. Protect yourself.
If you get VD, no one will love you.
I hate you!
Actually, there are many healthy relationships where one partner has an STI or sexually transmitted disease. You are more than your disease.
You can get STDs from toilet seats.
In most cases, you need a live carrier. You cannot catch an STI from a toilet seat. Therefore, your toilet seats are safe.
You are listening to Circle A Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This is Neely Osha, Guerrilla Theater Coordinator. You have heard pieces by three peer educators, with two more to go. Guerrilla Theater is part of ChatPDX, a coalition of individuals and organizations dedicated to curbing HIV and AIDS transmission among Portland's at-risk youth. We take the radical approach of learning from the youth and providing tools and opportunities for them to express themselves to each other and to the greater public. Over 1,000 of Portland's at-risk youth come through the doors of Outside In every year, where Guerrilla Theater operates. Outside In provides a free clinic to uninsured people under the age of 30 and homeless people of any age. Outside In has a drop-in space that provides three meals a day, safety services, case management, alcohol and drug counseling, parenting classes, transitional housing, a school, job training center, and more.
Here we are in the clinic, and we're going to ask Rachel a couple questions about the services that the clinic provides, or the different services they provide at the clinic.
There's primary care, so we provide all sorts of services. And if we can't help someone, we try to refer them outside of our clinic.
Are there any particular people that you work with most, like low income or homeless people?
Absolutely on both. We tend to serve people who are under 30 and currently experiencing homelessness in some form.
I also see from your sign you do acupuncture and tattoo removal. Are there any other services like that that somebody could get through the clinic?
There's massage appointments also, and then there's chiropractic appointments, and we also have some mental health services.
Do you do HIV and STD testings here?
Absolutely.
Could you say that that's like a majority of what you do is stuff regarding STDs and HIV, or do you pretty much do everything here?
We do a lot of different things. I don't know what the sort of statistics are. And then also, I'm information referral, so I give people information, but I don't see people just about the clinic or really specifically about the clinic. I refer people to this other desk right here, and so those folks handle more of the intricacies.
All right. Thank you very much, Rachel. I appreciate it.
An advocate of harm reduction, the philosophy of meeting people where they are, Outside In has one of the first syringe exchange programs in the country. It also operates Virginia Woof, the doggy daycare center, that also serves as a job training site for youth. Outside In's mission is to help people move towards self-sufficiency. Since young people respond better to each other than to adults or authority figures, peer education is a very powerful and effective tool for disseminating information and for encouraging critical thinking. Let's hear from peer educator Tabor McBee.
It's your quality anarchist, Tabor McBee, and you're listening to KBOO Community Radio. Today, subjects will cover the youth, their options for living a healthier lifestyle, safer sex, and how role models can play a positive part in their lives. After, I have an interview with Rachel Crump from The Outside In, and we'll speak about removing sexual stigmas, clear the air on misunderstood terminology, and debunk myths. My concern for the youth was inspired from my puerile days when I was curious about sexuality. I found it difficult to speak to older people, fearing that in their position, they would not accept me, judge me, and spurn me for the thoughts I had. I was confused because of my lack of courage, and being misinformed, I made irresponsible decisions. Though I didn't suffer any consequences, I remain having regrets. I've gathered some figures that may alarm you all. A 2008 estimate conducted by the Center for Disease Control states that there's 19 million new cases of STDs that are contracted annually in America alone. Earlier, I mentioned safer sex. That's because unless tested, your involvement with someone physically, even while using protection, only reduces the risk by fractions depending on which disease. The risk of pregnancy is reduced by 85% while using condoms, as condoms only protect from herpes 30 to 40% of the time, which explains how 25% of the American adult population has herpes. I am young, chosen to be celibate, and hope my example is emulated by people of all ages. And for the record, celibacy is not a religious term. Choosing to be celibate requires motivation. If it's connecting with an abstinent community, artistic expression, or protesting your ideas through the means of writing or blogging, and with temptation lurking, it's ideal to promote productivity. Try implementing other forms of entertainment to your daily regimen. The importance of advocacy is to maintain your beliefs, and that's what it means to be celibate. Now, parents should be more present in their children's lives. Instead of treating their children like Facebook fiends, they must connect, be more proactive in their involvement, and speak on behalf of their own experiences. And this consists of telling the inconvenient truths, yet giving hope and sharing their options for a healthier lifestyle. I encourage the experience to reach out to the youth to share their wisdom. I invite all knowledgeable people to step up with a supporting attitude to explain the technicalities and supply guidance to these kids, and they need to do so without any prejudices to their sexual preference. I say to the young who are listening that I honestly believe exploring sexuality is something you should prioritize for later in your life. First, get educated, find a trusting and respectful partner, and then initiate in that kind of behavior. I really hope you understand your own individuality, as I do, and make conscious decisions, and with that, I leave you with your thoughts. Now to begin the interview, would you mind introducing yourself?
Hi, I'm Rachel Crump. I am an AmeriCorps member at Outside In.
I'm in the AmeriCorps HOPE program. It stands for Healthy Options Through Prevention and Education. And at Outside In, I do sexual health classes.
Now, I've heard countless times by many people that you can contract HIV from a toilet seat. And that's untrue. Can you dispel any myths similar to that?
Well, that's definitely a big myth. And I think there are a lot of myths out there about sexual health and STDs. I think a lot of times people think the first time that you have sex, you're not going to get pregnant. And that's just definitely not true.
Terminology is commonly misconstrued, especially acronyms. What are three acronyms that everybody should know about?
Yeah, there's a lot of acronyms in the sexual health world. HIV, HPV, and AIDS are probably the three most common ones. HPV is human papillomavirus virus. HPV is a very common STI. There's lots of different strains of it, and many of them have no symptoms, so a lot of people who have HPV don't know it. A few of the strains can lead to cervical cancer, so it's important to get checked for HPV when you go to your doctor. The other acronym is HIV. That's human immunodeficiency virus. A lot of people have heard about this. I really like that acronym because it really describes it well. Human, which means it's something that humans get. Immunodeficiency, which means it's something that affects your immune system. And virus, which means it's not a bacteria, it's a virus. There's no antibiotic to get rid of it. And finally, AIDS. AIDS is what HIV often progresses to. And that's autoimmunodeficiency syndrome. And HIV becomes AIDS once somebody's white blood cell count becomes below a certain level.
Very informative. See, that takes me back from when I didn't know what an STI was. I learned that it was short for sexually transmitted infection. What is clearly the most offensive stigma that you have ever heard, and what is the real truth?
It really upsets me still when I hear people say that HIV is a gay man's disease. I think I get surprised every time somebody still thinks that. I think it was sort of the initial gut reaction people had when HIV first started coming out in America. And I thought we'd gotten past it because you can get HIV through all sorts of sexual activities, not just homosexual sex, but heterosexual sex. You can also get it from sharing needles. You can get it from breast milk. A mother can pass it to a child. So HIV is definitely not a gay man's disease.
To listen to the whole broadcast, you can find the stream at kboo.fm. And to view my sources, simply log into your Facebook account and look for the Big Anarchy A on the Portland Guerrilla Theater page. That's Portland spacebar GUERILLATHEATRE. This is Tabor McBee for The Outside In. Thank you for listening.
Filled up with questions. I'm too afraid to ask. Yeah.
Hi, this is Kimmy, and I'm here with Guerrilla Theater and KBOO. Today we're talking about the strip club industry in Portland. I will be talking with my sister about her work as a stripper. My sister became a stripper in November 2010. I was really shocked. I didn't believe her at first because that wasn't my sister. It's not like her. She had never even been in a relationship, really. She was never sexually active. I was really mad at first because I didn't have a lot of respect for strippers, and I had a lot of respect for my sister. I didn't lose respect for her, but it definitely took a while to adjust. I'm not really upset about it anymore, but I am concerned about her safety and well-being more than anything. I worry because there are a lot of things that could happen to her. She could get hurt falling off the pole or something, or, I mean, she's around strange men every day staring at her, watching her take her clothes off. I feel like there are a lot of bad things in this industry, such as prostitution and drugs. I don't think my sister would ever get involved with any of that, but I don't like that she has to be around it every day, or she chooses to. My mom didn't take it very well at first. I don't know if she does anymore, but I know that I'm not alone in my worry. There are a lot of other mothers, siblings, families that also have someone in the industry, and they might feel worried because they don't know what exactly their loved ones are doing, what their job is like. They might be confused, mad, whatever. So hopefully this interview will give you some insight on what it is exactly they're doing. I decided to interview my sister to better understand her work. I felt that with talking to her, I would feel better about her choices because I might understand them better. Hey, Jess.
What's up?
I'm going to start asking you a couple questions, okay?
Go for it.
How did you become a stripper?
Didn't have a job.
All right.
And, talked with a few people. They said I should audition. And I started working.
How long have you been working as a dancer?
7 months.
Do you have a persona that you use to separate your work and your personal life?
No, not really. I'm the same person at work as I am outside.
Do you feel that there is a stigma around being a dancer?
Well, it depends on what kind of people you ask. But in the general public, yeah.
What about for you?
No.
What do the men who come into the club expect from you as a dancer?
Well, obviously they're coming into a strip club to see naked women. Some of them are just really lonely and want to talk.
How do the men who come into the club treat you?
Basically the same if you're out at a bar or something, a guy comes up to you and tries to pick up on you, you know. They're trying to do the same thing here, except for they're paying you to talk to them.
Yeah. Do you enjoy talking to them?
It depends. Some of them are just there to see vagina and boobs. Some are actually lonely and want to talk, you know, about life in general.
Walk me through it a day at work. What does this look like?
Okay, well, I work the morning shift. I work 11 to 6. I get here and I get ready. As soon as someone walks in the door, then we'll go up and we'll start putting girls on the stage. And basically, you just dance on stage until somebody asks for a dance. And then, yeah, that's basically the runaround.
Someone asking for a dance, is that private?
Yeah, private dance, lap dance.
Do you ever get offered sexual trade?
Yeah, it's happened. Not very often to me, because I'm kind of a sarcastic jerk.
Yeah.
they kind of get the gist that it's not going to happen. But yeah, since there is a motel right across the street, you do get some people that'll ask.
How has this job affected your personal life?
Well, it's kind of affected my sexual life. Just because I have to be naked all day at work, and then when I get home, I just don't want to deal with it anymore. But other than that, I mean, it's made me more confident in my body and whatnot.
All right. Do you feel like this has affected your family life?
When I hid it for a while, and when I first told some people took it harder than others. they're kind of disappointed, but after a while they see that, you know, it doesn't really affect me as a person, so they turn their head.
How did Mom feel about it?
Well, I told Mom the first time that I went to audition. She was kind of shocked, in awe,
mm-hmm.
but she's okay with it now, I guess you could say.
How has being a dancer affected your personal view of yourself?
Well, before dancing, I had a lack of self-confidence and didn't feel I was pretty or sexy, but after dancing, I realized that, you know, I'm cute in my own way.
Yeah. A lot of times that it's reverse. Girls feel insecure.
There's some girls here that, you know, they still lack the confidence and they cry a lot because they get turned down, you know.
Yeah. When you see a stripper, you automatically think that, hey, she's on drugs or she's a prostitute. She sells her body for money. Is that true? Does that happen a lot or is it just...
The drug thing, I would say yes. Not so much like heroin or like junkies, but there's a lot of coke that goes around in strip clubs. And of course pot. Everyone smokes pot. And as far as prostitution, I don't know for sure that it happens, but I did hear that a girl got caught the other night doing it here. Of course she got fired and whatnot, but I mean, I've never seen it happen.
Do you feel like you'll be doing dancing for a while?
I wouldn't say for a while. Maybe another 7 months, you know. Who knows what happens.
Yeah.
I find something that makes me happy as a job, then I'll go for that.
What are your goals for your future?
Obviously, the stripper code. Doing this to pay for college type thing. Hopefully I'll be starting school at the end of the summer.
Yeah, where do you want to study?
Where?
Yeah.
PCC.
What do you want to study?
Criminal justice. Be a cap.
Awesome. I thought you wanted to be a mortician.
Yeah, that's a few further on down the road. It's not a mortician, it's a coroner. So it's two completely different things.
Oh, okay. What is the one I said? What do they do?
Mortician? That's like at a funeral home, and you pretty up the dead bodies for a funeral.
Oh, I thought that's what you wanted to do.
No, I want to cut them open and see why they died.
Oh, yeah. Is there anything else you would like to say about your job?
No, not really. I mean, you asked me something about what do men expect when they come in here.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel they expect is I think they want to see a show. Something like that you can't like just go to or look at a magazine and see, like, I mean, not sexualized, but you know, I don't really like stripping, but I love pole dancing and putting on a show. Make people be like, whoa, you know, pole dancing, my favorite. It's a very good workout.
I noticed that you're getting a nice six pack.
Oh, please, this is an APAC now.
Well, I think that's it. Thank you for talking with me, Jess.
You're welcome.
Did you know that Portland has the most strip clubs per capita in the country? That means that there are many others in my shoes with someone they care about in the adult industry. Talking to my sister has given me understanding. Hopefully it will give you some insight as well. Thanks for listening. This is Kimmy with Guerrilla Theater in KBU.
We just heard five fabulous pieces by Guerrilla Theater youth interns. Youth ages 16 to 24 are invited to participate in Guerrilla Theater. We meet at Outside In Sundays and Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. For questions or more information, contact Outside In at 503-535-3800. This is the second show done in collaboration with KBOO. Expect another installment in the fall. If you look up tonight's show on the KBOO website, look for a link to the last show the youth produced. Thank you to the Circle A radio team for hosting us on their show again, and to the talented, hardworking youth, to Lilo, Spencer Carson, Juicy Monique, Tabor McBee, Kimmy, and everyone else who supported the project.
You have been listening to Circle A Radio, which airs the first and third Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. We can be contacted through the website kboo.fm/CircleA Radio or at CircleARadio@gmail.com.
Thank you and good night.